In these final 20 minutes or so, I want to just exhort you. No overhead. Just sit back and listen. If you want to, you can take notes, but I want to lay something on you from God's Word if I could. We said earlier that the purpose of the home was to reflect the image and nature and character of God and to rule and reign, have dominion over the earth as preparation for ruling and reigning and having dominion over a new heaven and a new earth that would come one day, and also to reproduce a godly seed so that they would reflect the image of Christ and would rule and reign properly. We've talked about some practical things about that, but I want to mention three more things to you that I think are so critically important about how to raise a world changer. How do I develop a child who can be so mightily used of God that his life will be salt and light among his companions and the world in which he's placed? Well, I tell you, I want that for my children, don't you? I really want that. I want my children's life to count. I remember my mother and daddy used to say to me so many times, you know, one thing, and I've heard them say, one thing, we made a lot of mistakes, but one thing that we wanted our children to know is that we love Jesus more than anything else in the world. And we wanted them to love Jesus more than anything else. We wanted them to grow up to be children who had such a heart for God that their lives were salt and light and made a difference for eternity. I'm so thankful for the privilege. Not everybody has that privilege. And I believe God can use ungodly parents as His tools to make us what we ought to be. I'm thankful for the privilege of godly parents in my home. And I see in their lives what I see in this passage of Scripture of how Christ dealt with His children, if you would, His disciples, that He desired to raise up to be men who would really be world changers. Look what it says in Mark chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says that Jesus went up to the mountain and He summoned those whom He Himself wanted, and they came to Him, and He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. And it names those 12 men. Now, Jesus was on earth for 33 years. In these 3 years of public ministry, He had to take a group of men who were under His wing, under His responsibility, and to train them, to develop them, and then to entrust His whole life and ministry into their hands. In that same way, you know, we talk about discipling in the church. We talk about that a lot. You know where your greatest disciple group is? It's not in some Sunday night class, although that's important. It's not in some Wednesday morning Bible study time. The greatest discipleship group that God has given you is in your own home. Those children are your disciples. They are the ones who are entrusted by God to you to train and to develop and to nurture and to raise them up to be men and women of God. What should we do to raise them up to be world changers? Let me mention three things. Number one, prayer. Prayer. Luke 6, verse 12 and 13, which is the parallel account to this passage here in Mark chapter 3, adds one further statement about this Jesus as He was choosing the 12. And that was, it says, He went out the night before and He spent the whole night in prayer. And then He came and He chose the 12. Jesus was constantly praying for His children, for His disciples. And you know why? Jesus as a man, and remember, He always operated as a man while He was on earth, not as God, as a man just walking filled with the Spirit and trusting in His Father and obeying His Father. Jesus as a man knew that the only hope for His children was to get God into the equation in their lives. He knew, see, what I've got to have is the Spirit of God has got to intervene in Peter's life and in James' life and in John's life. And He's going to use me, and then He's going to come at times independently from me through His Word and by His Spirit. But God has got to move in these disciples' life, or nothing of eternal consequence will happen. And so you find Jesus constantly praying for His children, for His disciples. Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, right before His death, says, He came to Simon Peter and He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has obtained permission to sift you like wheat." You're going to go through a Satan's subtle sifter. But He said, "But I am praying for you, that your faith would not fail." And by the way, be a whole another sermon sometime, but I don't believe Peter's faith did fail. Ultimately, he came through to a point of real dependence upon the Lord. But Christ was praying for him. He said, "Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God's intervention, for God's help, for God to get you through this moment when you see all of your hopes and dreams nailed to a cross, and you even come to the point where you deny me. But I'm praying that you'll keep struggling and coming along, and that you're going to come out on the other side." John chapter 17, we read that great high priestly prayer of Christ where He prays for His children there, His disciples there, and He prays for us. Do you know Jesus in that garden time prayed for you, literally, and for me? He prayed for us and prayed for us and prayed for us because He wanted God to initiate work and activity in His children's lives, and He knew the one vehicle to make that happen was the vehicle of prayer. My folks made a lot of mistakes in raising my brothers and myself. I want to tell you something. One thing about my mom and my dad, every night till we were out of the home, at least I know because I watched them many, many times, my mom and dad would take hands and they would begin to pray, and they'd pray for all their children. Almost every day of my mother's life, after all the children got off to school, my mother, all of us boys, three boys, slept in the same room in homemade beds my dad had made. And my mother would go in and kneel by my bed, and she'd pray for me. Then she'd kneel on Jim's bed, and she'd pray over him. She'd kneel on Tom's bed, and she'd pray for Tom and the particular concerns of her heart. My mother had Bible promises for all of us children, things that she was praying specifically for me. And you know, it's incredible how those promises have been fulfilled in our lives. They made a lot of mistakes, but I want to tell you, it's incredible what can be overcome in terms of your mistakes in discipline and in training by the fact that you will daily and corporately join together, go to God in prayer. There is nothing, I believe, more difficult to maintain in a marriage than a husband and wife praying together. Have you found that to be true? It's just hard to do, isn't it? It's hard. We feel awkward at first, and we don't want to do it. And the husband oftentimes doesn't want to initiate that, and he ought to. He's to be a leader and initiator. But there's nothing more powerful than a mother and their father on their knees before God praying for their children. I just can't emphasize that enough. Without prayer in your home, you're going to get merely what man can do. And with prayer, you're going to begin to receive in your home and in the raising of your children what God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, can do. See? So you need to pray. You need to pray. Jesus, if Jesus needed to pray for His children, my, how we need to pray to see God brought into the occasion. Number two, a second element in raising a world changer is we need personal time. It's fascinating to me the simplicity of the Bible. You know, the Bible's not complex. It's just so simple. It's difficult sometimes. It's difficult to live and to know and to walk. But it's not complex. It's very simple. And it's interesting what Jesus said, verse 14, look at it. He appointed 12, and here's what He said He wanted to do with them, that they might be with Him. You say, Jesus, what was your agenda? What was your method of training your children? You know what He'd say? I wanted them to be with Me. I spent time with them. And you know what I believe? I really believe that we have got this idea of discipleship in our churches all messed up. I believe there is formal times of instruction and training and discipling, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and I fostered that when I was in the pastorate. But you know what real discipleship and real training is? It's walking with a godly man, with a godly woman. You watch them at the grocery store. You watch how they do their taxes. You watch how they respond in traffic. You listen in a crisis to how they respond. See? And that's how Jesus trained these men. I don't believe He got these men in part and said, all right, men, from 10:30 to 12 every day, you guys come get with Me and I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to train you. See? Well, He might be able to give them instruction and teaching and lecture from 10:30 to 12. But if He was going to train them, training is more caught than taught. And so what He said is, I have appointed you to come be with Me. And I want you to walk with Me. And when we look at this issue of taxes, I want you to see how I handle this issue of taxes, Peter. And when we come to a problem and we're seeing people around us and engulfed in materialism, then I want you to listen as I teach and I say about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air and what it means to really trust God. And I want you to watch Me as I trust God and learn of Me. The key with Jesus was that those disciples just walked with Him and saw Him living in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit in the normal, everyday experiences of His life. And that's the key for training our children. We've got to spend time with them. You heard Tim make the statement, and I think Dobson makes the same statement, that a statistical scientific study was done of fathers and their children, and the average time communicating was somewhere between 30 and 45 seconds a day in meaningful conversation. Now that's fact. I mean, that's what it normally is. What do you say to your children? How much time do you spend with your children, fathers, mothers? More than just hi, bye, how was school? Got any homework? Get your feet off the table. Don't walk in here with dirty shoes on. Wash your hands before dinner. Go brush your teeth and get in bed. Get up. What more do you say than that, see? Gloria Gaither said, I learned from my mother the Scriptures, for she used them daily in life as a yardstick for measuring all of life. That's how I learned the Bible. I learned to read the Bible by watching my parents pore over it alone when they didn't know I was watching. And I heard it read aloud over and over and over again in our home. Learning the Scriptures wasn't something religious, some duty we felt we had to do. It was more like eating, like talking, or like taking a bath on Saturday night. It was just a necessary, important, regular function of our lives. Now that's real discipleship. That's real training. Amen? I remember so vividly as a child getting up in the mornings to go to school and coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning, there'd be my dad in an old green chair sitting there with his Bible on his lap, praying, reading the Word of God. I'd say, Dad, what time did you get up? He'd say, well, I was up at 5 or 5:30, just been up reading the Word of God. I tell you what, that one picture in my mind is worth a thousand lectures. And my father saying, now son, you need to read your Bible every day. Why, if he'd have told me that 1,000 times and I'd never seen him reading his Bible, it would have been absolutely meaningless to me. See, I just saw my father in those roles. I watched him as we spent time together and I learned of him. How much time do you spend with your child? By the way, can I give you a little practical thing? And you may already be doing this, but we've established in our home the little practice of taking my children on a date with Daddy. We try to do it every week. We don't always get to that. That may be just going down to the grocery store And they go along with me, and they get a special package of gum. But I want to tell you something. They fight and clamor. It's my day to go with Daddy. It's my time for a date. You got to do it. You can't fathom how they cherish 15 minutes, 30 minutes of just being on a special date with Dad. And when we go together, we talk about things. I ask them questions. I want to know what they're thinking, what's going on in their mind. What are they thinking about the future? What do they want to do with their lives? What are their goals for their lives down the road? Spending special time with our children. Well, we need prayer, and we need personal time, and finally, we need a purpose. We need a purpose. Jesus says here in Mark chapter 3, He appointed 12 that they might be with Him. Why? So they just have fun together. Is that it? No. And that He might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Jesus had an agenda. Jesus knew, I have 3 years to accomplish a task. I've got 3 years to raise these spiritual children. 3 years. And the end goal, the purpose of what I'm doing is trying to raise them up to be men and women of God who know the Word of God and know the ways of God and know the mind of God and have the ability to go out and proclaim it to other people and to rule and to reign and to have dominion so that the world won't have dominion over them and the flesh and the devil, but that they will have dominion over this world. See, He was saying the very same things that we saw in Genesis chapter 1. I want to raise up children that reflect the glory of God. I want to raise up children that are able to rule instead of this world and all of its godless philosophies ruling them and the flesh and the devil. I want them to be men and women who know how to rule, who know how to govern themselves. One of the ladies was asking me a minute ago a question. One of the things that we're really working on in our home is to teach our children how to be self-governing adults. And gradually, as they get older, to let them make those decisions. And they govern themselves. They know how to go to the Word of God, know what the Bible says, feed themselves, govern themselves, so they can be independent men and women who know how to walk with God. And so we want to teach those children how to go out into this world and be lights in the midst of a very crooked and perverse generation. Jesus' purpose with them wasn't simply for His children to know how great He was or learn how to get stuff or learn how to do miracles or to memorize 7 simple steps of success. Jesus' purpose was this. I want them to spend time with Me so they'll be men and women who know what the Word of God is, what they are, who God is, and they can go out and proclaim it to a lost world. I want to tell you something. Christ had an agenda with those men. And if we think that we're going to be able to train children and they're going to raise up rightly and then really affect this world for Christ, unless we have an agenda, a divine agenda on our hearts, we're going to be sadly mistaken. You just can't leave it to chance. And so we ought to know the purpose of our child. What are we trying to do with our children? Are we trying to just have a good time? Then their goal in life is going to be to raise, as they grow up, is just to have a good time. If your goal in life and your goal for them is, if I can just get them through school, all I want to do is just get them through school and get them through college and get that paid for, then that's going to be the goal for their life, to get through, they're finished. Or just to make money, or just to marry well, or just to represent the family well, or maybe there's just no purpose at all, then that will be their goal in life. Just float through, have a good time, do what you can do, find some kind of work, maybe get married, maybe be happy, maybe not. Or are you instilling in your children on a daily and weekly basis, God has a great and grand destiny for your life? God has a purpose for you. And He has graciously called you and chosen you and set you apart. And I'm here as your parent, and I have the wonderful privilege of aiding you in that process of preparing you to be a great man, a great woman of God. Christ had only 3 years, and His disciples went out and literally changed the world. You've got your children for 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, maybe 20 years. What a wonderful privilege. What an awesome responsibility to spend time in prayer and personal time as they watch you walk with God with a purpose of raising up men and women who will affect this world eternally for Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? We're going to take about 2 minutes and we'll be through. Just lay everything aside and let's take a moment to reflect. We've covered not very much in terms of what all we could cover. We wish we had time to cover, but we have talked about a lot of different things. I wonder, as you think through the day in your mind, as we talk about the purpose of the home, is your home fulfilling that purpose, reflecting the nature and the character of Christ, going on to rule and reign in this world instead of the world ruling and reigning over you, and reproducing godly offspring? As we talked about root problems, did you identify in your own heart and life some root issues in your life or maybe in your children and what to do about it? As we look at this issue of disciplining our children, did you see practical things that need to be addressed and taken care of? Confession maybe that needs to be made to our children to get it right and start on a proper footing? Are you spending time praying for your children? Or are you just leaving the most precious commodity that you'll ever hold in your hand, your child, just up to chance, just hoping that maybe it'll all work out somehow? Are you spending time letting them walk with you, see the reality of Christ in your own life, so that they might be great men and women of God? And I wonder, we just take a moment in silent prayer, if you might need to speak to the Lord about any of these issues. Maybe you need to see God. Say, God, I really need help in this area. Would you show me, direct me, even tonight as we go home? There's something I need to do. If you need me to finish that sheet out, talk with my wife, get with my kids, whatever it is. Just have a family revival service tonight. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to be obedient to that. Just take 30 seconds in silent prayer. Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege you've given us of coming together with such freedom and liberty and looking into your word, the perfect law of liberty, and seeing truth to help our families fulfill your purpose, Father. And I pray that we would respond now. I pray even tonight as we go home, we wouldn't just lay the book on the shelf and say, well, that was a nice seminar, I'll add that to my list of other seminars I've gone to. But Father, we would take the truth and we would so obey what we have heard that the truth would be established in our walk, in our talk, in our mind, our heart, our attitudes, and our actions. Father, if we need to sit down and take time with our mates tonight, take time with our family, to just have a family conference and time together, I pray, Father, that we'd be bold and courageous enough to do that. You'd give us the grace to do that as we humble ourselves before them, before you. And Lord, I thank you for people who are willing to take 6 hours to say we want our home to be better, more like Christ, more of what it ought to be. For grandparents, you say, you know, I want to be a better grandparent. I want to continue to help my children and their children to be what they ought to be for Christ. And I thank you for all the work that you've already done in these homes and these hearts and these lives, men and women here in this room who have been learning from you for years. And may, Father, the truths that have been shared go down deep into our hearts, spring up, and bear fruit for all of eternity. Prepare our hearts, Father, for tomorrow, for the services. Give us rest and refreshment tonight. We pray that it will be a great, great day of victory and of your work and your anointing all day long. And all night long, Father, tonight, we ask for that too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your precious name. Amen.